सोने के तले हैं, आजा जरी और नीले आसमाने के तले हैं। जय हो जय हो।
You are listening to WRCT 88.3 in Pittsburgh, and this is From Ipanema to the World. And welcome once again to From Ipanema to the World. I am Flavio Chamis, and tonight we are going to continue our series on the string quartets by Heitor Villa-Lobos with the Quarteto Latino-Americano. They are a very important quartet, especially because they are the leading proponent of Latin American music for the genre. The quartet was founded in Mexico in 1982, and they had toured extensively around the world. They premiered over 100 works written for them and continue to introduce new and neglected composers. They won 2 Latin Grammys for Best Classical Recordings and have also been awarded with the prestigious Diapason d'Or. Their members are the brothers Saul and Aaron Bitran, violins, Javier Montiel, viola, and Alvaro Bitran, cello. They have recorded more than 80 CDs, including nearly the entire Latin American repertoire for string quartet. Also important is that they were the quartet in residence of the Carnegie Mellon University. And we have once more the pleasure of having Saul Bitran with us in this program, who will tell us a bit about the quartets we're going to listen to. Welcome, Saul.
Hi, Flavio. Hello, everyone. It's so nice to be back doing our third program with the fabulous Heitor Villa-Lobos string quartets. We're going through all of them little by little, having both my point of view as a performer and who I'm very acquainted with this music, and also Flavio, who knows this music like the palm of his hand. So it's a pleasure for me to talk about this. Today we are focusing on two quartets, number 3 and number 15. Those are very contrasting quartets and are a really good example of how Villa-Lobos evolved as a composer from his early quartets to his late ones. Quartet number 3 was written, I think, 1919. We see it as an homage to French Impressionism. I think he was heavily influenced by, especially by Debussy, but also Ravel, in terms of harmony, structure, sound effects. It's, of course, a very Brazilian quartet, but we cannot deny the influence of Impressionism here in the use of open intervals, the long flowing asymmetrical melodies, and especially the colors. He was looking for really unusual colors. The first movement has this flowing movement, like almost like Debussy's La Mer with the triplets, like the ocean, from beginning to end, and the melodies float on top of it really, really in a very picturesque fashion. And then we have the famous popcorn movement, Pipocas, which he tries to imitate the sound of popcorn, popping as you fry it. And he does that very ingeniously using left-hand pizzicatos and right-hand, a lot of, we don't use the bow almost throughout the whole movement, just for a very short section. Most of it is, it's only plucked strings, and it does give the feeling, it's amazing how we got this sound that really resembles popcorn cooking. The slow movement is a beautiful tone poem, again, very impressionistic, but with a melody that recalls to me some of Villa-Lobos' symphonic poems, like Wirapuru, for example, very, very long, beautiful melodies that put you in this night music, tropical night music context. It's a pleasure to play that movement, and very democratic, because each of the four instruments get to play this long, winding, fascinating melody. The last movement is a real tour de force. It's very, very fast, 16 notes, very difficult to play, very impressive, and it always ends giving a very strong impression on the audience, because it builds and builds. It gets faster and faster, almost impossible to play at the end, but I think that's part of what he wanted. He wanted this feeling of something that is beyond human means, and we try to do as fast as we can without losing the ability to play all the notes. But it's a fascinating journey, this third quartet. I think it's one of his top quartets, and it's probably one of his most well-known pieces.
This was a string quartet number 3 by Heitor Villa-Lobos with a Quarteto Latino-Americano. Next, we're gonna listen to Villa-Lobos quartet number 15, which was written much later in his life, in 1954. This quartet was first performed 4 years later by the Juilliard String Quartet at the Library of Congress in Washington, D.C. And to guide us through what we're gonna listen is, again, our friend Saul Bitran.
String Quartet number 15 by Villa-Lobos represents the musical language that he was using at that time, which had become much leaner and purer than his lush middle period. Here, he was very interested in form, which is something he never really cared for at the beginning. He used to be a little bit rambling and free and rhapsodic, and now here we have a very, very clear sonata form in the first and fourth movement. Everything is structured very neatly. The musical content is also much simpler, cleaner. Gone away are all these rhapsodic and lush and Brazilian sounding melodies. Here, he's striving from some kind of architectural cleanliness, and it comes through as a very powerful device and very original, because we don't really expect this from Villa-Lobos. He does use a lot of extended techniques. Of course, he's always having fun with the strings because he knew the instrument so well and he knew the possibilities. He writes very fast runs and lots of double stops and harmonic sounds. The second movement, even though it's very different than the third quartet that we talked earlier, it has some commonalities because, again, he's creating this night music atmosphere using harmonic sounds and long, mysterious melodies. The third movement is like a Beethoven scherzo, pretty much like the Seventh Symphony or Third Symphony, these very fast scherzos, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, not a minuetto, but a fast scherzo. And I cannot think that he didn't have Beethoven in mind when writing this kind of music. And then on the last movement, he's paying homage to Bach because he's experimenting with a fugue, a fugato writing. Writing fugues is the most difficult exercise for any musician, to not writing them, but to make them sound beautiful, because you have the same melody that's playing one after the other in different instruments, and to make it sound clever and musical is really difficult. And no one, in my opinion, has ever come close to what Bach did. So Villa-Lobos gives it a shot, like most composers did, with, I would say, mixed success in this last movement. But fortunately, it has a middle section that is lyrical and fun to play and to listen. And then at the end, it gets really, really fast and crazy and exciting. So the movement ends on a very bright and uplifting note.
You just heard a string quartet number 15 by Heitor Villa-Lobos with the Quarteto Latinoamericano, Saul and Aaron Bitran violins, Javier Montiel viola, and Alvaro Bitran cello. In a few weeks, we will continue our series of quartets by Heitor Villa-Lobos. For now, to finish this program, we are going to change gears and listen to something by Villa-Lobos, but very different. It is the Fantasia for saxophone, three horns, and strings, a very unique instrumental formation that Villa-Lobos created. This will be played by saxophonist John Harl and the Academy of St. Martin in the Field, with Sir Neville Mariner conducting. Thank you so much for listening to From Ipanema to the World. I am Flavio Chamis. Join us again next Friday at 7 p.m. on WRCT-FM in Pittsburgh, or live stream our program on wrct.org. Here is the Fantasia for soprano saxophone by Heitor Villa-Lobos. Thank you.
This is Greg Keeler with Blue Rodeo here, 88.3 FM, WRCT, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Welcome to the lovesick blues boy, Hank Williams. Well, so, Hank, we hope you're going to be around here with us for a long, long time, buddy.
Well, it looks like I'll be doing just that, Red, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, that's fine, just as we're all looking forward to that great Hank Williams hit. What else could it be but the lovesick blues?
I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, since my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know what I'll do. All I do is set and sigh. Oh, Lord, that last long day she said goodbye. Well, Lord, I thought I would. She'll do me, she'll do you. She's got the kind of loving. Lord, I looked to you when she called me sweet. Daddy, such a beautiful dream. I hate to think it all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Lord, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm lonesome. I got the lovesick blues. Well, I'm in love with a beautiful gal. That's what's the matter with me. Well, I'm in love with a beautiful gal, but she don't care about me. Lord, I tried and I tried to keep her satisfied, but she just wouldn't stay. So now that she is leaving, this is all I can say. I got a feeling called the blues. Oh, Lord, since my baby said goodbye. Lord, I don't know what I'll do. All I do is set and sigh. Oh, Lord, that last long day she went by. Well, Lord, I thought I would cry. She'd do me, she'd do you. She's got that kind of loving. Lord, I looked to you when she called me sweet. Daddy, such a I hate to think it all over. I've lost my heart, it seems. I've grown so used to you somehow. Lord, I'm nobody's sugar daddy now. And I'm lonesome. I got the lovesick blues.
Cold heart and a doubtful mind. I have known a few myself, and the gal that loved me half as much as she loved somebody else. You wrote for you, Hank Williams.